And when you get to 2 Kings 1, you're going to look back at 1 Kings chapter 22, the last couple verses there. And you know, as we go through the kings of Israel and Judah, we're jumping back and forth. And Jehoshaphat is king in Jerusalem. If you remember, Ahab dies. He tries to disguise himself, but he dies, and what God said would happen would happen to him. And so we get to his son here, and we are in 1 Kings 22, and look at verse 51. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father, and in the way of his mother, and the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And he served Baal, and worshipped him, and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel, according to all that his father had done. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber and was in Samaria and was sick. I personally believe that God was using this moment in Ahaziah's life to try and wake him up and to get him to turn to the God of Israel. He falls through this lattice here from the upper chamber. And it says, and he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Baal Zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. Is that the god that Ahaziah should have gone to? No, not at all. Verse 3 says, but an angel of the Lord sent to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it not because there's not a god in Israel, that ye go to inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. What a message right there, right? Short and sweet and to the point. It wasn't sweet, but you get what I mean when I say that. And it says in verse 5, and when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are ye now turned back? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us, and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there's not a god in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And the king said, because you got to remember, this is Ahab's son. They knew who Elijah was, because Elijah had been around. And so he said, as he's laying there in his bed, he describes a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And all of a sudden, he just knew it's Elijah. That's quite the clothes for Elijah. He was quite the dresser. Anyways, it's Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50, and with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he sat on top of a hill. And he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again also he sent him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And guess what happened? Fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent again. Man, he's not giving up here, is he? And poor captain with all these 50. If I don't obey the king, he's going to kill me. But if I go to Elijah, he's going to call down fire from heaven. What's worse, getting my head chopped off for getting something done or burning up? But anyways, it says, and again he sent a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came down fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down unto him, unto the king. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, it is not because there is a god in Israel to inquire of his word. Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. So he, Ahaziah, died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Last week, we saw in Judah a good king, Jehoshaphat. We see Ahaziah here, the son of Ahab. Something that I will note different about Ahaziah than his father or his grandfather. If you remember his grandfather, what was his grandfather's name? Omri, right? Remember that? And then Ahab was his dad. When Omri reigned, the Bible said there was not a more wicked king in Israel than Omri. Then it said that Ahab was the worst one. And so Ahaziah, it doesn't say that about him. But he continued down the path that everyone else in Israel had gone down. I don't know how hard it is, and I know in my own life there are so many times where I look at things that I do and I'm like, Lord, I'm so glad you're patient with me, so glad you're long-suffering, but why can't they learn? You see your dad die and Elijah say what's going to happen, you think you would learn. My thought would be, why would you go to Beelzebub, a fake god, and go to his prophets when he already knew who Elijah was? Hey, we ran to this hairy guy with a leather girdle about his loins. That's Elijah. Well, everything that Elijah said about his dad and his mom, it all was true. It all happened. Why couldn't he go to God? I think God, in his mercy or in his grace, tried to reach Ahaziah. That's why he fell. He had a chance, but he chose the wrong God. As we study the kings of Israel and we study the kings of Judah, there are lots of things for us to pick up on for ourselves. The importance of seeking God above all else. When things go wrong in our lives, where's the first place that you turn? I know you might not have a statue of Beelzebub in your house, and if you do, I would get rid of that thing, and I would not keep that, and I would not have that in your house, but you might not have a statue, or you might not go seek another god, but when something happens or when things get tough, where do you go to first? If it's not the Lord, it's really not much different than what Ahaziah did in his life. Father, help us over the next few minutes as we look at this passage about Ahaziah, that you'd help us, Lord, and guide us and teach us from this passage and grow us, Lord. And guide us, Lord. We love you. We need you. And we thank you for all that you do and all the blessings that you've given to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You'll notice that later on, there is another Ahaziah. But he's a king of Judah. This one's in Israel. Let's go through the notes tonight. We read through the passage, all of it. I didn't know if I was going to do that, but let's go through the notes tonight. Number one, we see the incident and his misplaced trust. Right away, the Bible tells us back in 1 Kings that Ahaziah, that literally he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And he walked the way of Ahab, his father. He walked in the ways of Jezebel. He walked after Jeroboam. And he didn't seek God. He followed Baal, worshipped him, and provoked the Lord to anger. And we see over and over again that this keeps happening in Israel. And God is a patient God. By this time, I would be like, you're done. Everyone's done in Israel. But God was a patient God, and God sent them. You understand, why would God send them a prophet, a man of God, to try and help them change, to try and wake them up to the things that they were doing? And so as we look here, we see the incident that happened. Letter A, we see the king Ahaziah fell through a lattice, injuring himself. And symbolically, I believe this stumbling was both physical, but also was showing how he was spiritually living. And he suffered because of this. The Bible says he was sick. And you imagine falling through a lattice somewhere and falling, it would hurt. And when we look at this, he had an opportunity here. Maybe like a wake-up call. I'm just thinking, you fall through a lattice, how are you going to end up when you're done? Probably. Looking up. Right? He's probably looking up when he's done. He could have turned to the Lord at this time. He could have woke up and said, I'm not going to do it dad's way. I'm not going to do it mom's way. I'm going to seek the God of heaven. But he doesn't. We see letter B, the fact that instead of seeking help from the true God, he sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. You know, when we think about in our own lives, when crisis occurs, when something goes wrong, where do you go? Do you go to God? That should be the first place we go. Oh, well, I go to so-and-so, then I go to... No, it shouldn't be that way. Because when we're going through it, or when we're in a spot in our lives, I just want us to think on that thought for a minute. Do we turn to God? Do you seek wise counsel? Or do you seek advice from people that are not going to help you? We need to turn to God. Letter C, trusting in anything other than the Lord demonstrates a lack of true faith and leads to spiritual trouble. Because if we truly believe that God is who he says he is, then that's who we should go to in our times of trouble. Don't trust any other place. Go to the Lord when something happens. And we see here for Ahaziah his misplaced trust. What happens, number two, we see that Elijah exposes the error in his life. And as we study Elijah, one of the things you need to remember, and as we, I remember growing up in church and going to Bible college and things, you would hear many times where people would compare their pastor to a man of God like Elijah and Elisha in the Old Testament. Preachers today are not like Elijah or Elisha, okay? Literally, the angel of the Lord came to them and told them, this is what you tell the people. I don't speak for God in that way. God's already spoken to us, and I help speak what he's already written for us. There's a big difference in the two. So make sure you don't confuse the two. And so Elijah, he exposes the error there. And what happens there? Letter A, we see there's a divine rebuke. God speaks there. And we see there in verse number 5, or before that, it talks about the fact, is not there why are you going to Beelzebub? Is there no God in Israel that could help you right now? That was God's response. God's like, I'm right here. You're my people. And yet you don't turn to me? You're not going there. Is there no God in Israel? Yes, there's a God in Israel. And his name's the God of heaven. They knew who he was. But God's like, you rejected me. You didn't want me. And you got to understand, as we look at this, We see that Elijah's rebuke here emphasizes that turning to a pagan god is wrong. And we live in a day and age where everyone is... I wish we could say that that people are turning to the Lord all around us. But they're turning to a lot of things that are nothing like the Lord. And in all reality, a lot of it around us, there's a lot of that spirit of Antichrist around us. And any spirit that does not promote that Jesus Christ is Lord is not a spirit that I want anything to do with or want to be around or have anything to do with in my life. But you got to understand, just because you don't have a statue in your house or you don't worship it doesn't mean... We look in our world today, people worship things. Sports is worshipped in this world. People are so concerned and consumed by sports. I love sports. I love it. I could watch it all the time. I love it all. But we live in a world that's consumed by it. Sports is not the end all in life. I know that's a shock to some of you tonight. But it's not. And most of us, our kids are never going to be the big multi-million dollar winner out there. And if yours is, make sure they remember the church they grew up in and they tithe back home. Don't forget the small church that helped you out and taught you the things of God along the way. But it's a god. You know what else is a god? Money. Money's a god in this world today. Fame. We make gods of people, actresses and actors, all sorts of different people. It's no different than what they did in that day. It's just a different way that you look at it. Letter B, because of his idolatrous action, the prophecy declared that King Ahaziah would surely die. What's interesting to me was that Ahaziah could have... I know he was in bed. He couldn't get out of bed. Probably a bad back from his fall. Why couldn't he call out to God and say, God, I'm sorry, and seek God? Why couldn't any of the kings of Israel do this? How had they gotten so far to where they couldn't turn back to God? Was God still trying to reach them? Yes. That's why Elijah's there. Yes, God was still trying to reach them. But the prophecy was given that he would surely die. And I think that Ahaziah could understand the fact that if God sent Elijah and said that's what was going to happen, then that's what was going to happen. Did Ahab die the way God said he was going to? Yes. Did Ahab try to disguise himself and not go out? Yes. But God, when he says something, God means what he says. And as we look at this and we think on this, when we ignore letter C, when we ignore God's sovereignty and seek help from any other sources than him, it brings inevitable judgment. And that's why we just got to seek the Lord. And I would encourage you, examine your heart. When's the last time you checked your heart to see what is in there? Are there any false idols in your life? Any priorities out of whack? Any habits that you're leaning to instead of the Lord? How we need to seek the Lord and trust the Lord. We see that Elijah exposed the error. And number three, we see that divine judgment is unavoidable in his life. We see that three times Ahaziah sends captains and people to Elijah. And it's interesting. Do you notice how the first two times the captains go to Elijah? What's the difference between how the first two captains in their 50s go to Elijah, and what's the difference between the third one? The last one begged for mercy, but there was a lot of humbleness in the third. When we read here about the first two captains, was there any humbleness in them? No, look at verse number 9. It says, then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he sat on top of a hill, and he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. Oh, the king's telling him what he needs to do. We see it again, the same thing in verse 11. O man of God, thus hath the king said, not only come down, but get down here right now. That didn't go over very good either. If I'm a man of God, let fire come down. Took care of the whole problem. But look at the third time. It says in the captain, verse 13, of the third 50 with his 50, and the captain of the 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah. Do you notice the difference? It's very true in the Bible that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. How do you approach the Lord? Now, I know we can come boldly or confidently to the throne of grace because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, and we can come before the Lord. But how do you approach the Lord? Are you humble? Those first two captains, get down here. The king said, get down here. I don't know if you realize there can be rulers here on earth, but there's one king, and his name is Jesus. It's just like I'm kind of thrilled about some of the things that Trump is doing around us, but Trump needs to remember one thing. When he says he can bring peace everywhere, he cannot bring peace anywhere because there's only one Prince of Peace, and his name's Jesus. And Trump needs to remember that as well. And yes, I think you can do a better job at helping bring peace places than other people, but you got to be very careful when you say comments like that because there's only one who can bring peace. His name's Jesus. There's only one true king. There's only one sovereign God. And so as we look here, we see that the divine judgment's inevitable. Letter A, Ahaziah's fate teaches that God's justice is both right and certain. And God, you say, we could sit here and be like, Ahaziah only got to reign 2 years. Is that really fair? You can never ask if God is fair on something that he does, because God is always fair and just in everything that he does. He's so just and fair in everything that he does, he sent his son to die on a cross for us. You know what he could have done? He could have pardoned his son and said, you can all be free, I pardon my son. No, his son had to suffer so that we could have life, because God is just and fair in everything that he does. You know, we hear things often in life, right, David? Life's not fair. It's not. But God is always fair. And God is always right and just in everything that he does. Letter B. God's warnings are not empty warnings. How many of you ever as parents ever give an empty threat? It's never a good thing to do. You should not. You always should follow through on whatever you say. Great example. So God's warnings are not empty. He is a righteous judge who holds us accountable for our spiritual direction. God doesn't give us empty threats. The mission. So one of the things that the mission is, we got guys in the program at the mission. And so we have a list of rules for the guys at the mission. But this is the thing. What happens if they don't follow the rules? Go to class. They don't go to class. I just missed class. I literally got someone a few weeks ago, what are you going to do about it? There are no consequences in place. So I had to come up with in the past 2 weeks a reward and consequence system for the men in the discipleship program at the mission. There's rewards when they do good, and there's consequences when they do bad. Because they felt it was an empty threat. And yesterday I gave someone their first consequence. And they gave me a look like my kids. I'm like, I'm raising more kids. I can't even raise the ones I got, and I got to do it even more. I'm thinking we might start doing consequences at church too and rewards. No, just kidding. That was just a joke. But the Lord doesn't give, his warnings are not empty. God didn't try to scare Ahaziah to do what's right. When God says something, he means what he says. And God, when we look at the Lord, we see, and that's, in all reality, one of the worst things a person can do is not turn, the worst thing they can do in life is not turn to the Lord and turn after other gods, and how we need to seek God. As we close tonight, and we're almost done here tonight, I got a few, number four, some lessons for how for today from Ahaziah. What can we learn from him? There's a story a long time ago about a king who reigned 2 years. What can we pick up from him? Number one, or letter A, trust in God alone. Trust in God alone. In times of crisis, uncertainty, the first place you should turn to is God. The very first place you turn to. Trust in God alone. Number two, or letter B, beware of modern day idols. You got to understand that idolatry isn't just a statue or a pagan god. It can be anything that takes God's place in our lives. Don't let sports, don't let money, don't let fame, don't let anything become an idol. Some people, their children are their idols. They'll tow their kids and do whatever their kids want, and their kids, they run the show. And whatever they want, that's what happens. And if they throw a big enough tantrum or whatever else happens, they get to do anything. Shouldn't be that way. And kids in the room, you shouldn't throw tantrums either. And my kids know not to throw tantrums because I can throw a bigger tantrum than they do. You don't want to see me throw a tantrum. I did that one time for somebody, and I don't think I've ever done. Have I ever done that for you? No, I don't think I have. But I've only done that when I got in trouble with Caroline. I threw a tantrum. No, I'm kidding. That was just a joke. And so I'm just seeing if she's paying attention. She's in the nursery tonight. She said she was going to listen in. That was just to see if she actually listens in. How about this one? So beware of modern day idols. Letter C, obey the call to repentance. There are going to be times in your life that the Spirit of God speaks to you through His Word, through the Spirit of God, and obey the call. Heed the call. And don't go to God in your pride. Humble yourself. Humble yourself before Him. And Caroline was listening. I'm sorry, I'll humble myself and apologize for that there. And letter D, God is sovereign and just. No matter our position or power, God's judgment is sure, and God's ways are always right. Man, we just keep seeing king after king in Israel, and sad, 2 years. That's nothing. And he died, and then do you think his brother is going to do any better? You'll have to wait and see in 2 weeks. Or you can read ahead and go there. Let's pray together. Father,